What's up, Janelle?
Hey, Bronzy.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. How about yourself?
I'd say it's going pretty well also. You know, no complaints. Just riding the waves, you know what I mean?
Feel you. It's been a minute.
It has. Like, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, people be booking flights.
You know, it is what it is. At this point, it is what it is.
And hey, I mean, we love to see it. We love it.
Yeah, you came back from some travel recently too, right?
No, we talked about that on last episode. So that's
been gone. No. Maybe.
How was Beyonce? How was Renaissance?
Renaissance was amazing. That. Yeah, I mean, I always have a great time at Beyonce shows. It was probably one of, if not like my favorite Beyonce show that I've been to.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. Funny, I was actually in Miami on the night of that show. But I was in Miami because my connecting flight to St. Kitts, I missed it. We got there too late because of a delay. Or they canceled like our original flight from LGA. But I was thinking, I was like, I should go to the concert tonight in Miami. But it was raining.
So then wait a minute, like, back up to my last question about didn't you just go on a trip? The answer is yes. I was like, I know I'm not going crazy.
Of course you weren't going to let that one go or miss
that. No, I was
not. I guess you're right. I guess you are right. But yeah, you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really good. Really, really good. I'm still jealous though.
Did it rain that night?
It did rain that night, but it rained like as we were leaving. So it was fine. Like the walk from the stadium to the car was a little tricky, but it didn't rain during the show itself.
What were you about to say?
What was I about to say? Oh, I was saying that it. I'm still a little jealous of the birthday show, the LA birthday show. But you know,
I mean,
it is what it
is. Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. It is what it is. I'm thinking at this point, is she tired of being on tour?
She's gotta be.
Like, do you get to a point where you're like, okay, this has been great, and I'm ready to wrap it up?
I wonder, is Blue Ivy tired? Because I'm sure the first couple shows, she's like, all right, this is cute. Now she's like, all right. Like,
Blue is probably telling Beyonce, you won't break my soul. You work me so damn hard.
Right. I'm sure she wants to go. But she's like, can I just go to school, please?
At this point, like, I miss my friends. Like, I didn't know I was going to be doing all this.
Yeah. Well, the rumor I don't know if it's true, that she makes $6 million a show. So maybe she... You know, maybe she is down for it. I don't think it's true.
Blue?
That's crazy.
That's a little insane. That would be wild. Yeah, that's egregious.
Yeah.
I mean, but she's Beyonce's daughter. Who knows? As long as I can cut that check and get those, you know, tax loopholes. Who knows?
True.
All right. So you ready to jump into Above the Fold this week?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
All right. So I know you've seen the news. I mean, it happened a couple weeks ago at this point about Tremaine Emory stepping down as creative director at Supreme.
Yes.
How did you feel about that when you saw that? Were you surprised?
I mean, I'm not surprised by much nowadays. Mm-hmm. I was surprised by like the reasoning, like when I was reading his stories and like unpacking it, that's when I was like, oh wait, this is juicy. There's a lot more to this. So didn't he cite like systemic racism?
Yeah.
As the reason being?
That's what he cited. But did you see what he was trying to do? Like what happened for him to call for that?
Did they pull like a certain campaign or a person from a campaign?
Right. So they apparently stopped a collab with the artist Arthur Jaffa. Are you familiar with his work?
Yes.
So apparently the clothing was supposed to depict like hung slaves, and you know that one slave, that slave picture with like all the lashings on the back.
Wait,
and all
Janelle, of that kind of please stuff. Please tell me that this is not true.
That's what the collab was supposed to be. That's what they put a stop to. So like in an instance like that, where you're trying to put out a product that depicts Black trauma on t-shirts that a lot of white people, for a brand that a lot of white people consume, is Supreme wrong for stopping that collab?
Hell no. No.
And does that make them racist? So yeah, absolutely, I'm like, there's not a lot of layers to this story. On face value, I was like, wait, what's going on? He's stepping down. Right then, when I read, and I'm like, wait, what kind of collab were you about to do with Arthur Jaffa? And then when I saw what it was supposed to be, I was like, oh, buddy was wilding a bit. And just in general, I feel like a lot of times, oftentimes, these Black designers that really want to like get, you know, they're so concerned. Some Black designers can be so concerned about trying to get a message across, right? And like, mm-hmm, that they don't realize that what you're doing is really just kind of like capitalizing on Black trauma. Or maybe they do realize that's what they're doing, but that's really what this felt like. I'm like, okay, so you guys are going to charge however much, $65, however much, $100, whatever dollars that a Supreme shirt costs with a hung slave on it. And that's supposed to convey what exactly? What am I supposed to learn from that?
I want to say, I don't know what I want to say. I want to agree with you and say that there are a lot of layers to this. We don't know that, and I'm not playing devil's advocate, but this could be playing devil's advocate. We don't know that it would have been a hung slave. What if, you know,
well, whatever, just assuming that the rumors are true, that that's what the imagery was supposed to be, those two images.
Okay. Assuming that, then I think absolutely Supreme made the right decision. I don't know what the talk track was or where he pulled that and then decided that it's systemic racism because of the lack of communication, or maybe not letting him know that they were pulling it. I wouldn't necessarily call that systemic racism. Mm-hmm. But there's three sides to every story. Yeah. I mean, and also when you think about the intention of Tremaine is that, you know, I'm the creative director, I'm trying to push something that's out of the box or whatever his perspective is as an artist. Then there's Supreme, who was like, nah, we got to take care of our brand, like our brand integrity and how we show up in market is what's important to us. And then I don't know. I think I don't have enough to give a affirmative on either side.
Yeah. I mean, I think
until... I do know that there's no way that it would have been appropriate for Supreme to come out with the assumed images of like a hung slave.
Yeah. Agreed. You know what it reminds me of a bit? And I'm like, you know, again, what? Like, I think about these moments that are supposed to spark conversation and like be controversial and all of that kind of stuff. But like, I immediately went back to what tour was that of Kanye's where he had like the Confederate flag. I mean, obviously he's done way more egregious stuff since then, but kind of like,
yeah,
that to me felt like the turning point where it was just like, even if it's, you know, even if it's like crazy offensive, do something that sparks controversy and then just say that you're trying to push the conversation in fashion and it's fine.
Right.
So, yeah, after finding out all that information, if it is true, I was like, okay, we gotta stop claiming systemic racism. For, you know, it's like, it's crying wolf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It, so the times it that does become it, crying wolf. It definitely yeah. does. Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like he need to leave. He wasn't happy. And Supreme, like, if you have a creative director that's... Like, you got to know the brand and you got to know the audience and you got to know the impact that whatever you're creating will make. And Either way, though, somebody in the rooms need to be communicating. Like, I don't understand how it gets to this point. Even if he was trying to push that forward, let him know, no, this is no go. We can't do it.
Right.
But that's the those are the parts of the story that we don't know. Those are the unknowns.
Right. And I mean, he still has his brand Denim Tears. Would love to see what comes out of that next after this.
Right.
I have a hot take about Denim Tears, but I'm going to keep it to this wrong podcast for that.
Maybe it's not. All right. We could talk offline. Or yeah. We can come back.
We'll offline about that.
All right. Cool. All right.
And were you in the building? Did you go to the U.S. Open this year?
I did not. I did not make it this year. Because I would have had to take time off for the matches that I would have been able to see. And I wasn't able to do that. But I wanted to go. Oh,
I did too. I just knew you guys were there. I was like, oh, I'm going to have such FOMO.
And the prices went up quite a bit this year. I'm like, what's happening?
Coco Golf is happening.
Yeah, I guess so.
So how did you, I mean
apparently.
I know that you're obviously, we're both big tennis fans. I was following Coco throughout the U.S. Open. I'm sure you have too, as well as like just the entire kind of like summer tournaments and stuff like that. But to see her win was a huge moment.
It was a really huge moment for a couple of reasons. I think like her whole entire summer swing was incredible. Like this is just talking about her athleticism, and I feel like I'm a sports commentator when I be talking about tennis. Her athleticism. Okay, so
Stephen A. in. Let's go.
I know, we might as well. Well, one, she lost Wimbledon first round. So that was the last major before the summer swing hard court season started. Which, when you think of like a top 10, top 20 player losing first round, that's not anything that is expected in like the tennis world. So when things like that happen, it's like a huge bummer. So for her to come on the summer swing and like turn things around was incredible. She added like coaching staff. Her dad stopped being her main like actual physical coach. He's more like the orchestrator now. Mm-hmm. And that helped a lot. So she ran like a 500 lead up tournament, then 1,000, and then obviously the US Open. But I think what's more incredible is like she's 19 winning the US Open, which is her home slam.
Yeah.
New Balance signed her when she was 14, I want to say. So she was still in juniors. And I think what's incredible about the U.S. Open win is like New Balance always had the slogan of like, call me Coco. That was like her thing. And so they already had the shirts and the design made with call me Coco, but Coco was crossed out and it says champion. I think that was an incredible moment because they had the shirts ready when she won. They got them on her parents by the time the cameras and stuff were following them around.
And
they
Leon.
Put it on Coco. Yeah, right.
Can we talk about what does he have to do?
Leon.
Is that her uncle or something?
He's obviously a close family friend. He's been in her box multiple times, especially at previous U.S. Opens. She had the shirt ready for when she did press and all that. So I think, and then the shirt was ready on New Balance's site once, you know, during that moment. And the last thing is Coco posted it because she had it on at that point. So obviously she's taking a picture like I won my championship. So she's posting also with the shirt on. I think that's such an incredible moment for a brand because those moments don't happen like that. You know what I mean? And also when you think about having the talent post it, you already know how rare that is and how much you got to push talent to be like, oh, post the product. Yeah. And especially in real time when it's authentic. So I thought it was a big up for New Balance as well. Being that Coco is the big fish in that small pond. I feel like if she was with Nike, she would be a small fish in a really big pond. So I think like I'm excited for the collaboration and what's happening with her and all of her brand partnerships and then what's to come. And I think this was a good look for New Balance.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I thought that, I mean, clearly they must have just gotten outbid, but like the fact that Rolex owned the post-win moment was a little odd to me. I think New Balance should have pushed a little harder to own that moment. and have like a spot right after that.
I didn't even think about that.
And then I thought it was also a missed opportunity. We kept seeing, and I saw a tweet about this and like the difference between like New Balance advertising and a Nike advertising. And I get the potential bias here, but we kept seeing this video of her in the stands when she went to go see the US Open at the age of like 8, when she went to go see Venus and Serena, and someone like called out, if she were a Nike athlete, that would have been the spot after. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Nike's style of advertising and storytelling, like that was just a perfect moment and no brand utilized that. It just felt like a missed opportunity. But, this, you know.
This is why you are who you are. This is why you're the brand strategist.
No, I just read a tweet. That's all I did.
I just read a tweet. I mean, but that is very true. I think that was a huge miss. Hindsight's 2020, but that was a huge miss.
Yeah.
But and Nike would have jumped on that so quickly.
Yeah.
Or even if it wasn't using that spot exactly. No, they would have used that. But to your point as well, like post the match, Nike would have had that first spot and they would have had a story to tell at that moment. Like,
yeah, there's no way you know, like, I don't know how. And again, like, obviously she's signed to Rolex too. But I mean, we just keep seeing her face next to New Balance. Like, I would just assume that after all of that with the T-shirts and the moment that they're having, and like New Balance should have been that first look after the win.
1000%. But I'm excited for her. I was so happy that she won. Also, this is a testament that, like, it's literally legacy on the court. What I thought I was going to be losing and missing with Serena's evolution, we still see, like, on the court, whether it's with Coco, Taylor, Sloane, even the guys, Tiafoe and Ben Shelton, who made it to they played each other in the quarterfinals, and then Ben Shelton went on to the semifinals. Like, it's incredible to see the impact of the Williams sisters and all of the, you know, black tennis players attribute to the Williams sisters as the reason why that they're on the court. So I love that aspect as well. And Coco winning the US Open literally the year after Serena said bye. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, and also the fact that, like, the last, since 2000, the only women, U.S. women to win the Open have been black women. And, like, that's not even counting Naomi Osaka, too, because she plays for Japan and we're only talking about U.S. women. But when I saw that graphic, I was just like, damn, like, that's kind of crazy.
That is, that, right? Like,
yeah,
what
from
is
Venus
that?
To that's Serena crazy. To Sloane to Coco.
Right. And we could throw Naomi in there if we wanted to.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I love it.
Yeah. Did you see the video about, she was talking, Coco was talking about what she was going to do with the $3 million she won, and someone had suggested she pay off her debt.
Just
couldn't even pronounce the word debt. That's how far removed she is.
She never heard of debt. What is debt? She was like, debts.
She said debts. I mean, a hard B in there. I was like, I know that's right. I want to live a life where I don't know how to pronounce debt either.
Get me there. That's all I want. That's where I want to be. So, yeah, that's the way it should be. But yeah, she was like, someone said pay off my debts. I don't have that.
I don't know her.
I live with my parents.
Shout out to my parents.
I didn't go to college.
That did not teach me anything about depths.
Can you stop? Chill. I don't want depths. I don't have depths. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
And it shows her innocence. Like, stay that way, Coco. And I'm sure she will. You don't need to have depths.
Right. Sometimes I forget. I'm like, yo, she's only 19. That's nuts.
Yeah. 19. She can't even drink yet.
Well, kind of staying in the realm of athletic brands, Fenty and Puma have, I mean, it was announced before that they were doing another collab after the Creeper era of like the, what was that? Like 2012, 13-ish. So they're they just released kind of like imagery for that collab, starring Rihanna.
Didn't it drop already?
Possibly. I think it might have dropped like this past Friday or something.
Yeah, because I'm seeing a whole bunch of sold out.
Oh, shout out to them. Yeah, when I first saw it, I was just like, okay, I mean, I guess, like, I don't think about Puma that often, but like, this is interesting. I really noticed the chrome shoe, and I was like, you know, I like chrome. So I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I realized shortly thereafter, I'm like, where have I seen this shoe before? And it looks like the Wells Bonner collab with Adidas chrome shoe. It's like the same style, like sneaker cleat type shoe, all chrome. I was like, that's interesting. But other than that, I was just like, okay, it's, you know, it's cute for some folks. I'm sure it'll sell out, which it did.
It did. Yeah, it's cute. That's all I got for it.
Yeah.
Literally. It is. I mean, you know, great job. I mean, they took like a style Puma that's legacy, right? And then just kind of like sure collab with Rihanna and Fenty on it. Yeah, nice. I mean, it did what it needed to do, clearly from a brand perspective. So
yeah, again, another thing that's keeping us away from new Rihanna music. And I don't count that that Black Panther
Lift Me Up
stuff.
No,
I don't count that. That don't count that.
I don't either. Nope, not at all. We're not getting it, so just go ahead and secure your loins.
You
run anti back.
Buy your little chrome shoes.
Right, we're done with that. That ship has sailed.
Did you see that Jalen Hurts, kind of switching gears? Jalen Hurts is officially Jordan Brand.
I absolutely saw that. Yes.
I was so confused because I could have sworn he'd been Jordan Brand, like since before he was in the Teyana Taylor joint. I thought that's why he was in it, because he was Team Jordan Brand.
I thought I assumed it too, because apparently he was already wearing like Jordan cleats prior to this.
Yeah.
And then I mean, maybe all these things worked together for Jordan Brand to be like, wait a minute, he's already halfway pretty much in, let's go ahead and make it official, I think. Yeah, maybe was what happened. But yeah, I thought he was already part, and maybe he was, and maybe they just went like public. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was so weird to me. I was like, I could have sworn this
we already
was
been
a thing
here,
like for like at least a year.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, but I love it.
Shout out to him.
It makes sense.
How are the Eagles doing so far?
2-0, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, we beat, who we played last week? The Patriots. And then Thursday, we beat the Vikings.
Well, I think we play you all sometime in October. I think it's October. I was looking at the schedule to see when we played the Eagles.
Who is we?
You know who we is. The Dolphins. Don't play.
I didn't know if you really was repping the Dolphins or not.
I always rep the home team. I'm loyal. Loyal to a fault.
What's y'all? How y'all doing so far?
We're 1-0. I mean, you didn't hear about the... We got Tua. We got Tyreek Hill. We got... We got a little squad. Don't do that.
I'm not. Does Serena Venus still own? Are they still owners of the Dolphins?
Who knows? I feel like all the entertainment business owns the Dolphins and Miami whatever the soccer team called. Everybody own everything.
Oh, yeah.
I might even have a stake in it. I don't know.
Right. That's how I be. Cool.
Have you been tuned into college sports?
No, I haven't.
You've
been watching football?
I've been watching college football. and watching Colorado, which I understand is a bit controversial for me, given Deion Sanders leaving and taking the whole squad with him from JSU to Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Colorado.
But, I mean, they've been playing some great football, and it's been very entertaining to watch. And they're putting all the celebs.
This is straight up entertainment. Like, what he's doing in Colorado, the whole thing is entertainment. Like, we be getting behind the scenes. They need to make sure they're documenting all.
I'm sure they are. They have to be. I'm sure they are. But last night's game was some of the craziest football I've seen in a minute.
Who they play?
They played Colorado State, so it was a rivalry game.
Oh,
against another black coach, against another black head coach. They were down 11 points in the fourth. Listen, they were down 11 points in the fourth. They went to two overtimes, and Colorado won. But it was a nail biter for sure.
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna pay more attention now.
And I think they had Lil Wayne was, everybody now wants to be on the sideline. Like, Lil Wayne's there, Offset's there. Like, Kawhi Leonard was there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good look, though. That's a good look for college sports.
It is a good look for
pulling this sort of publicity.
Yeah, and the other thing that I like about it is, though, yes, I wasn't too happy when he left JSU, and I thought, this is going to stop the conversation around HBCU sports, and of course, that slowed down a bit, but these commentators cannot talk about what Deion is doing at Colorado without bringing up what he did at JSU. So anytime you hear them covering this, they're like, well, let's go back to last year at JSU.
Oh,
Shedeur Sanders was doing here. And, so I like that Jackson State is still a part of the conversation because it's a part of their story. So it has to be.
True story. Okay. I like that. I like that. Yeah, that's nice take on it where otherwise, yeah, she wouldn't be hitting this, so to speak, on these airways.
Yeah. And so from that, of course, they've been getting a lot of brand looks, and they recently released, it was either a 3 or 4 part KFC campaign with the entire family. So it wasn't just Deion and Shedeur and just Shiloh, who let's talk about how he barely gets any love in the media, but whatever. But it was all his other kids too. I think he has 2 or 3 other kids that were in the spot for KFC. It was a cool spot.
Wasn't his mom in it too?
Yeah, his mom was in it. His mom was in it too. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. His mom was in it too. And there were cool spots. They felt authentic to him and the family. It always gets a little tricky when you're throwing black people in with fried chicken, so it's just you gotta walk a fine line, because you could easily turn into a Mary or what's his name that did the Popeye spot with the chicken on the helmet and it was spinning. You know who I'm talking about. Why am I blanking on his name right now? He's a football player. No, I have to figure this out.
Jerry Rice.
Yes, Jerry Rice.
Yes.
That was nuts.
Yes.
So, it can be very
okay,
easy.
So I think this works. The reason why I did not go there with this is because of the last name Sanders. And I'm like, this makes sense coming from KFC or Colonel Sanders and let's bring the Sanders family in to do the spot.
Right.
I wish they would have played in on that a bit more, but how would they without it being cheesy?
Yeah, potentially. But yeah, it didn't come off corny or, yeah, so it was fine.
Or also, it wasn't like they was overtly all the family just sitting there eating a bucket of chicken or something like that. You know what I mean? It felt okay. That's how it'd be, in a black family where it's you want to eat that chicken on your dad's carpet? Or so, yeah. You know what I mean? Just regular. So yeah, I was fine with it.
It hasn't been all wins for KFC. Not too long ago, they dropped the Sorry Utensils campaign. And that was an interesting campaign because I think on face value, at face value, I should say, it was a smart insight. They did some out of home. I think if you looked at the entire campaign and all of the out of home and all of the assets for that campaign, there probably would not have been an issue. But some guy who worked on this campaign decided to post 4 images on Twitter talking about this campaign, and all 4 of them were of Black, it looked to be like Black models in them. So everybody was like, wait a minute, you got this campaign with these Black people licking their fingers, talking about I'm eating chicken with my fingers and not using utensils anymore. It just was not a good look. And I think that from what I've seen, it was a broader campaign than just these 4 Black models, you know? So it was just very unfortunate that he did not realize when he was posting these 4 images, how crazy it looked, and like mix it up a bit. But Twitter was having a field day.
Had you
seen this?
No, I hadn't seen this. I hadn't seen this until I saw it in the doc. I'm okay with the campaign.
Yeah, because I think it's a smart insight.
So is the issue even this component of the campaign, or is the issue the tweet?
The issue is the tweet. The tweet made it seem like this is all that came out. So this is all that people are seeing. People aren't out seeing these,
got you,
these billboards. Okay. They're seeing it. Their only context is this tweet.
Right. Okay.
And if that's your only context, it looks nuts.
It does, because in the spot, like there's a TV spot and it looks like it's a Asian and white, like mixed race family.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were saying, if I'm scrolling through Twitter and I see this tweet and then it's being reposted, this is what I think the campaign is. And
exactly.
From there, you're going to call, like, of course, Black Twitter is going to be all over that.
Yeah.
Could he have done a better job? Like, yes. Talking about how excellent of a campaign this was. Yes. And unfortunately, the way media works is they're going to take what you give them. They're not going to go stop what they're doing and research and see if there's any more to this story. They're mm-hmm. taking what they see, and then they're going to make a decision off of it. That's what advertising is. You get this small second and you work in advertising, and these other 4 images that you post, you got to know that that's not... That wasn't the selection to make, or the decision to make.
Yeah. So I guess KFC for this episode is 1-1.
Yep.
Have you, you mentioned that you've been watching some NFL, so I'm sure you've seen these NFL like script spots, which I think are super funny and super smart and speak to a conversation that's been going on online about just like the NFL being scripted, right? The conspiracy is that there's a script each year and like everybody follows it. So before the season even starts, the NFL knows who's going to win the Super Bowl, how they're going to get there, who all's getting injured, who's getting traded, you know, all the whole nine. So for them to play into that, I think is super smart, and the spots are funny.
All right, everyone. Last season was a smash. Ratings gold. But this year's script has to top it. So welcome to the table read for the 104th season of the NFL. Let's get to work. Yes, Jalen.
I thought this was the dress rehearsal.
Oh, sorry.
Week 1, 4th quarter, 3:02 left. Jamar leaps up and makes a no-handed catch.
No hands? How?
I don't need hands. I'll just catch you with my abs.
We can call it the abracagrabra. Might as well send the ball to Canton now.
What if we wrote the Mahomes character out of the script entirely?
Yes.
Wrote him off?
Yes. Guys, not cool. Who said that?
She did.
You're an actor, Patrick. Act like one.
Boring.
What if we played shirts versus skins?
Ooh. I like it, Kirko.
What if we replace my legs with actual wheels?
I love it.
What if Derrick Henry stiff arms a guy into another?
It'd be possible for us to get to page two.
Yeah, they're incredibly funny. I think it was a great play by whoever made that decision to lean into that to promote this season. They are funny. Like, I was laughing the entire time, every time I see the spots. I also think it's cool that it... Did you see the one with Mahomes? Where it was like, maybe we can just write him completely out.
Yeah.
Like, just take him out the script. Yeah, so it was like some funny one-liners in there. And then they also try to pull on the relevancy of the players. But yeah, this is a smart campaign.
Yep, agreed. Next up.
Don't play with it, Riot. Huh? That's what she says at the beginning of her songs. Go
Does
ahead.
She?
Yes. Okay.
Well, we talk about Ice Spice. I didn't make the association. But Ice Spice is getting her a little drink at Dunkin' Donuts.
This makes sense.
Yeah. So it's made with, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, like their donut holes are called Munchkins. She calls her fan base the Munchkins. Some kind of way they blend them hard ass munchkins into a beverage, and it's there for you to enjoy. I'm like, I know their budget for blenders got to be something crazy, because those munchkins got to be tearing those things up. It has to be, because I know even the ninjas can't stand up to that. But shout out to her, though. She has a spot. You know, she's in the spot. You know, what's his name? I'm bad with white celebrities. What's his name again? You know who I'm talking about. He's from Boston.
I'm bad, too.
He dated J-Lo. Y'all know who I'm talking about. No, that's not Mark Wahlberg. Ben Affleck? Is it Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck? Yeah, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So the drink is, isn't like pumpkin spice? So, like, they're using,
that
like...
That would make sense.
Yeah, I think it's like a seasonal pumpkin spice sort of drink.
Mm-hmm. Are you an Ice Spice fan?
Munchkin. You know what's crazy? I literally asked this to Amadi yesterday. I said, are you a fan of her? I haven't made a decision. I'm not a fan, but I'm also too legit. Like, not anti. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's where I fall too. I'm like, some of the... I like the way that she is moving, that she is able to move the way she is moving.
Okay,
how
so here's
we got
my issue.
Here, I'm a little confused about, given the problem.
Yeah, that's... I think my issue with Ice Spice... Ooh. I feel like there are so many other talented people that the industry doesn't pay attention to, and why do they push and embrace Ice Spice so much? I think it comes down to like that colorism thing, where it's like she has the look, she's fair skin, like we can sell her. Cause you got Dochi, like why isn't Dochi getting all this attention and notoriety and opportunities? Or you know what I mean? So I think for me, when it comes to Ice Spice and rating her, I'm like, she's fine. Like, I don't have an issue with her personally, but I feel like the industry has embraced her for reasons outside of just the talent aspect.
Yeah, but I mean, that's been the case for a really long time. And I mean, I get that. Like, I mean, she's just...
That's true.
I like the way that she is moving. I'm not like a huge fan of the music itself. Like that Taylor Swift song. Whoa. That was nuts. That was so bad. But I digress. But I'm also someone who's over here singing every Sexy Red lyric too. So, you know.
No, that's one thing I'm definitely not doing.
Stop it. You don't throw a little ski in there every once in a while.
What do you watch? Do you, are you a fan of Suki?
No. I think she, okay.
I was about to say, Janelle, that's where we're going to have to
That might be where I draw the line. I think sometimes she just does too much. Yeah. And I'm just like, damn, girl, like, just chill out just a little bit. Just reel it in just a little bit.
Just reel it in just a little bit. You don't got no friends to help you with that? Okay, but yeah. Yeah, and I feel like at this point, at like this, I don't know, the genre, like female rap is,
it's a bit all over the place, but I like that because like the niggas can be all over the place and we don't say a word.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, no. I feel like you get the same thing. I feel like when you listen, and that may be a fair, unfair assumption because I'm also not listening to every single record that these artists are putting out. But the formula just seems like the same. The content, the rhythm,
because there are fewer female rappers, you notice it more. But I think that percentage-wise, what they're talking about is no different than percentage-wise if you broke up like the male side of things.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, like nobody, you know, like we're not giving the love, you know, as they say, to like the rap cities, just the way that, like, you know,
yeah,
Black Thought might not be your thing, but you over here listening to Sexy Red over here, and then you got Lil Tyler over here. Like, there's all, you're always gonna find a kind of, like,
you're right. You're right.
They're equal, like, on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
shout out to her though. Ice Spice, go with your Dunkin' Donuts collab.
Are you gonna try her?
No. Did you see her at the VMAs?
Next to her bestie. Sitting next to Taylor Swift, she was looking a little lit, but I wasn't mad at it. Like, yeah, you're supposed to be out there having fun.
I posted that video. Somebody had posted a video of Taylor Swift saying something to her. And Ice Spice, her face was all like scrunched up. Like, and somebody was like, oh, I know what that means. Her breath stinks. But her face was so tore up. Like, she was literally holding her breath, like trying to agree with her.
Did you watch the VMAs this year?
I watched some of them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, same.
Did you watch them?
A little bit. It just was weird to me. Like, the whole...
Did you see why they said that, why they told Victoria Monet no?
Yes, I saw that. That was like, that was so disrespectful.
That was the most disrespectful, egregious bullshit reason and rationale ever. Like, that, you might as well slap me in my face.
Right. Speaking of, are y'all going to see Victoria Monet?
Yes, we are. October 17th.
Were your tickets crazy?
16th. No, our tickets weren't crazy.
Okay. Because I hear, like, around the country, like, resale is something, like, for her tickets.
Yeah,
are crazy,
I think they're starting to resell them now.
Okay. I got...
They all sold out very quickly. Uh-huh. We did resell, but we did resell, like, right after the sellout.
Okay.
So it's fairly, like, still accessible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think people now know, like, people really want to see her, and they are marking them prices up.
I just bought tickets before we hopped on this phone call, and they were not expensive at all. I was like, shout out to Portland, you know?
Oh yeah,
Portland. One of the perks. Yeah. Concert tickets are pretty cheap here.
When is she gonna be there?
October 6th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Nice. Yeah. Did you watch, this is also a segue, the Kirk Franklin mini doc on YouTube?
I did not. I plan to watch it though.
Yeah, check that out. That was really, really good. He's coming out with a new album. The premise is, it's called Father's Day. And as you know, he had, you know, what happened with he and his son publicly a couple years ago, last year or 2 years ago, all in media. And then probably like 5-6 years ago, you know, Kirk Franklin was adopted. He's never had his biological family with him.
I didn't know that.
So I think a couple of years, like, he knows who his biological mother is, but they don't have like a really a relationship. Anyway, all this is in the doc. But the premise is, a couple of years ago, he thought that he found out who his biological father was, and he passed away. And so he had this whole conversation and was like really public about, like, I met him and I feel like I have closure, like, from that. Come to find out, that wasn't his biological father. And he just found out who his biological father is. So it's a really big deal. And it's so many layers and stuff like that that tell why Kirk Franklin is who he is. So definitely make that a priority to get that in. It was good.
And you said it's on YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. 40 minutes.
Easy watch. Yeah.
Cool. Have you gotten tired yet of hearing, "Hello, Christ, I'm about to sin again"?
No, I'm not tired of it.
Me either.
I'm not tired of it.
I'm like, I really like flying a boss's rollout to whatever they plan to put out.
Every time I hear it, I feel like I got to run, though.
No, every time I hear it, I'm like, I'm sitting my ass right here. Y'all got it. But, of course, Final Boss went viral on TikTok. Their signature is running. That's how it started. But there is a line in the song. It's like, I'll be Michael Phelps, all the brand deals that I'm swimming in. And, like, they meant that so literally.
If, like, manifestation had a picture next to it, that line would have to be what it was.
I mean, I've seen them in Peloton ads, Chipotle. Their new music video is sponsored by DoorDash. They've run through every single company's building you could think of. Like, I think they're on tour with Janelle Monáe right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're opening for Janelle Monáe. Don't quote me.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I just figured we hadn't talked about them. And when we talk about brand deals, like, they're kind of killing it right now. So, made sense to bring them up.
Do they? I don't know any of their other songs. Have you listened to anything else?
No, I don't even think I've listened to this song in its entirety. I only know... I just know the two lines that they be running.
I wasn't going to say it. Okay. I wasn't going to say it. But that's where it starts and ends.
That's the only one. That seems to be the only part of the song they care for us to listen to. So what you want me to do?
That's crazy. Oh, my God. It's incredible.
Yeah. I'm like, as far as I'm concerned, that is the song.
Right, because that's the part that's doing what needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, it was enough to get them on tour and all these brand deals, so shout out to them.
Wow. Go, y'all.
Yeah.
This is also always my question when something of this magnitude happens for artists. Where do you go from here, or how do you continue to capitalize off this? Like, eventually this is going to plateau and it's going to be like, okay, that was great.
Right. Yeah. Like, how do you do something like this without it feeling like a gimmick that flames out?
Right. So that's where I'm like, yeah, enjoy this run, capitalize off of it, get all the momentum and everything you can, but also be future thinking and future proofing of, like, how do we keep some of this momentum into whatever is next, or build on
run,
this.
Run right into the next, incorporate running in the next single too. Every single, the video is just them running.
Y'all gonna have to do something, skydive. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you see that USA Today is hiring full-time, they're hiring full-time Beyonce and Taylor Swift reporters, but let's just focus on Beyonce. But yeah, I think, and I did like the, I think they're paying like $50 an hour or something like that for the role.
Okay. So why?
I don't know. Something about this feels very
gimmicky.
PR headline. Because like Beyonce's tour is about to end. Then what you gonna talk about?
Right. And if you need a historian, you don't need to go down to putting up a hiring ad for that. There's, you got ChatGPT. Any researcher or reporter can go and get what they need by doing research.
Yeah, so Beyonce's only going to give you what she...
Why specifying it to just being Beyonce reporter?
Yeah, and she's not going to give you much. She's just going to give you what she wants you to have anyway. So, I don't know what
you're
going
to be
reporting.
And when we say reporter, is that what they're saying? Are they saying, like, actually going to Beyonce and getting information and, like, documenting?
Or I think it's, like, going to, like, the shows and stuff. But the tour is about to end. So, a little too, you know, too little too late? I don't know. It's very unclear. Very unclear.
I don't know either.
Let me see.
There's enough people that have went to the tour that are reporters that you can just tap.
Right. I think this is just to get some headlines. Now, Taylor Swift, I don't know enough about what that girl does to understand if it warrants a reporter or not. But yeah, maybe it, I don't know. I need to see the job posting myself to understand. Because for all I know, it could say something like pop culture reporter that.
Right. Oh, right.
You know, well versed in Taylor Swift and Beyonce, and y'all just framing it as like, I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. We could be spreading misinformation. At any rate, I don't think it's necessary.
I don't either. But shout out to whoever gets the job. Hopefully,
yeah, shout out to you.
You got enough content. You can clock enough hours to make it make sense.
I mean, I think somebody can work a lifetime and report on Beyonce, but...
Can they? Consistently?
Not unless you're going like being a historian or something like that. But
I mean, if your angle is we're on the hunt for the visuals, maybe. Because you might have a
I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah, you actually might have a lot of longevity in that recording.
Either the visuals are going to come out on like a network or streaming, or they're going to be archived until Blue Ivy released them in like the year 2060.
I think the tour, whatever streaming service she drops that on, whoever she has a partnership with now, I can't keep up.
I feel like we keep hearing about these deals that celebrities get with networks, and then we don't hear anything come from them. Like, I remember, didn't Serena have one with Amazon? Beyonce supposedly signed something with Netflix.
That was a while ago.
Megan Thee Stallion did something. Right, but like, I'm not seeing anything
come from Netflix. No, since Netflix, she's done stuff with Disney Plus. I think her deal now is like with Disney Plus or somebody else. It's not Netflix anymore. I'm like 95% sure of that. But speaking of though, what's going on with her hair care line? I saw her send an influencer somewhere talking about, oh, you know, I like my, you know, scalp care, hair care, whatever. So clearly there's a hair care line in the works, but that's all I've seen is all these influencers.
She literally
screaming.
Got beauty influencers, gave them a
shout out.
Sent black SUVs to pick them up for the Renaissance show in LA. Pre-recorded a message for them saying their name. Like, they got in, they got this card that said, pull out your phone, I don't want you to miss this moment. The driver has a message for you. The driver plays the message like, hey, such and such, I wish I could be there with you, but I'm in my sacred place preparing for whatever. We about to turn up the night or whatever. Then they get to the venue. They're in a suite. They get, obviously, swag. Like, part of the swag is like the custom Tiffany's necklace or charm or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Miss Tina came and greeted them. But apparently, whatever she's doing, however she's doing it, she's pulling in influencers to be a part of it. It'll probably be more of a long tail, and this is just the first part to get them engaged or whatever and posting content about it. But I like the move. You know what I mean? It was a play attached to what she's already doing, tour, and being like, my hair care line's coming. How can I capitalize on this moment with that too and incorporate them? What else is coming from that? We don't know. When is it coming? We don't know. But hey, that's what's happening or happened.
I guess it just seems weird that you bring influencers out talking about your hair care line, but there was no hair care line to show.
It's right. I don't know. I have no idea.
I was about to say, you know, never mind, because we're talking about Beyonce and I got to be very careful. I have to tread lightly.
Maybe they talked. Maybe she gave them a preview. I don't know what happened. But back real quick to the point I was making with the Netflix. That Netflix deal was talked about in 2019, and that was post Homecoming already being dropped. So it was supposed to be more coming to the network.
I am well aware of that.
So are you saying like that's null and void now?
But I think since then she's dropped content with like Amazon. There's another streaming service she's dropped content with between that time that led me to believe that there's no way that she's still in partnership with Netflix.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Our last topic in Above the Fold is Diddy giving back publishing to some of his former or current artists. Mm-hmm. You dropped this one in. I read about it, but then I also saw that like maybe the publishing wasn't worth much and it was probably just a rollout for this album he just dropped. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like this is this means nothing to these artists at this point, especially the artists that have long history or legacy with Bad Boy. When the publishing mattered was when records were being sold. Mm-hmm. In this new streaming world, you're talking about hundreds of dollars, maybe a couple thousand for some artists that, you know, getting this publishing is going to do for them at this point. And then I saw an interview with Aubrey, and she said that in order for her and other artists to get their publishing rights back from Diddy, they had to sign an NDA claiming to never speak on Diddy or Bad Boy ever again in public. And then also a couple of other entities that Diddy is associated with. So it's like, this is just a play for him to like continue to maintain control in different ways. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think the headline and like what he wanted the headline to do was like, oh, yay, Diddy, finally, that's the right thing to do, was what it was intended for. Not necessarily by righting any wrongs and doing right by the artist. It was more so a publicity and then also to protect himself against like future conversations or what have you. Future-proofing himself, his identity, his brand identity, and stuff like that. So, I don't think it's what it is.
I mean, I think it was just part of the rollout for the album, something to keep people talking. You know, again, I think yes, the publishing isn't worth anything, so it's just for show, and the show is the new album. Have you listened to the new album?
I listened to a couple of tracks with people that I was like, oh, I want to hear what this sounds like. So far, what I've heard is pretty good.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Same. I haven't listened to the whole thing. I just kind of like listened to maybe a couple of tracks, but liking what I'm hearing. I want to listen to it like top to bottom. Just haven't found the time because it's a pretty lengthy album. But
it is.
Yeah.
I like the Mary J song, but all right, cool. That wraps up Above the Fold for this week. All right, now we're going to jump into Guess the Spokesperson.
The way we struggle with the name of this segment is crazy.
At this point, it is a little insane. It's your turn to give me the clues, and it's my turn to go ahead and guess it and get it right.
All right. Well, the brand is Dark and Lovely.
Oh, God.
And here are your clues. I don't think it's that hard, but she is a multi-hyphenate in the entertainment world. She became the first Black woman to win a Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Television Series, Musical, or Comedy. And the last hint is she has a famous sister.
Okay. Did she play in The Cosby Show?
She did not. I mean, okay. Was she one of the main characters in The Cosby Show?
Yeah. Okay. What was the second clue?
She became the first Black woman to win a Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Television Series, Musical, or Comedy. The musical or comedy is the television series like category.
Okay. And she has a famous sister. Mm-hmm. First Black woman. So this is not recent. What's the first clue again?
She's a multi-hyphenate in the entertainment world.
She's a multi-hyphenate in the entertainment world.
She's had a lot of jobs.
So she sings and she acts.
I didn't say that.
Does she sing?
I think she can. One more yes or no question.
Did she play in Living Single?
No.
I don't know, Janelle. Let me see. So she and her sister are famous.
You ran out of questions. But, I mean, I guess that's technically the third hint. She has a famous sister.
What does her sister do?
That's not how this game goes. I'll give you...
First Black woman to win.
I'll give you one hint.
An Emmy?
I said a Golden Globe.
A Golden Globe, sorry. Golden Globe.
I'll give you one.
What's the hint?
One more hint. I think that's too obvious. It's too obvious. Damn it. She's a product of an HBCU.
I don't know. This is taking too long and I'm stumped.
You are so close. It's Debbie Allen. You were going for Felicia Rashad. So close.
It was Debbie Allen. Not Felicia Rashad.
So close. You had the famous sister.
She was the first Black woman to win a Golden Globe. Mm-hmm. And
you're the first Black woman to win a Golden Globe in that category. And it was for, if I'm remembering correctly, it was for Fame. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, that was a good one. I mean, multi-hyphenate wasn't a good clue.
Should we roll the clips from last time we did this?
Who's not a multi-hyphenate? Like,
she has asthma. Those be your clues. She knows how to shuck her own oysters. Like, What am I supposed to do with that?
At least that's specific to the person. It's like
that was specific to her too. And I thought it was it was a clue too that I'm like, she can sing, but I don't know that she's known for being a singer.
But who at this point is not a multi-hyphenate?
I don't know.
Everybody's a multi-hyphenate.
Not necessarily. I mean, I gave you three other clues. I gave you four clues,
Anyway, let's go into Going With Your Black Ads, or That Ain't It. Who you got this week?
Oh, this is kind of a hard one this week. It is. I feel like we talked about a fair amount of good and bad. I give Going With Your Black Ads to Coco for the U.S. Open win and the Rolex and New Balance of it all. And the, is that a pasta company she wears on the other side of the...
Barilla, yeah.
Barilla, yeah. All of them. Shout out to y'all. That Ain't It. I'm going to have to... Well, if the rumors are true, I'm going to have to give that to Tremaine with the Supreme stuff, potentially. Yeah. Big caveat if those rumors are true.
Fair. I'm going to go with Coco and New Balance for the U.S. Open for Going With Your Black Ads. And I'm going to give That Ain't It to whoever the CD or the person was that tweeted the utensils campaign for KFC.
Yes. That's a good one.
Yeah, bro, that ain't the way that's going to get it. You got to know. You got to do better than that. But yeah, that wraps up another episode of With Your Black Ads. As always, like, subscribe, and share this with your friends. And keep up with us at our website, whatyourblackads.com, and follow us on all social, mainly Instagram. But we'll see y'all next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. God damn. That's what I'm talking about. It was so black ass. It was black ass.